This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Well, hello. It's nice to see
bonus
you.
Bonus episode!
Woo!
Do this.
What are we doing?
Bonus episode time. Patreon episode time. Here we go. We're going to talk about Hoopla.
Oh, are we?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Hoopla. We're going to talk about AD. We're going to talk about how Batman ruins everything. There's so many things coming in this episode. It's great. so this is a patron exclusive episode. This has been a long time coming. I've been looking forward to doing this one. I'm just going to take control right now. So this all started because Martin, he told me about Hoopla sometime in the past, right? Like, I'm not talking about when I actually started.
Like a year ago. Continue.
Yeah. He told me about it. And I was like, the fuck do I care? Because I had too much stuff to read at that time. Because
you hate free stuff.
You know what? At that time, you could probably argue that, because I was wasting too much money on buying comics, and now I don't do that anymore. I mean, I buy a little bit of stuff, but I don't buy that much anymore. I mean, like, you know, you were all like, I'm going to purge my pull list. And I was like, fuck that. Light that shit on fire. Hold on. You're like, I'm going to cut down my collection. I'm like, into the shredder. Funny thing, I got a Super Nintendo Classic. I literally took, like, 20% of the comics I had left and went and sold them for $80 to pay for that shit. Boom. That's how that goes. So anyways, you told me about Hoopla forever ago.
Well, yeah, you need to be honest. What you really did was you took the Patreon money and you bought a SNES Classic.
Are you kidding me? I got $13 of Patreon money. That does not pay for an SNES Classic. I bought Rapture is the most recent thing, so you can closest relate that to the Patreon money. I bought the trade for Rapture, so I'm looking forward to. I flipped through it a little bit, and it's nice looking at the art without a giant watermark. Also, not on my phone, so it's gone from like I don't know, was that like 4 inches to full size? You know,
that's what she said.
That's pretty nice. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, that's what happens when I get excited.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, back to Hoopla. So you told me about Hoopla again, and I was ready to accept it for all of its glory, and then I took credit for it and told other people about it. But Hoopla is fantastic. So for Hoopla, all you have to do is have a library card. Your library has to subscribe to it, of course. But you go on hoopladigital.com.
Mm-hmm.
You put in your library information, put in your library card information. Boom. Done. Easy. And I am super impressed with the content that it has. And there's quite a bit of variance to what you can get. And you know what's funny is I recorded the week that I got a fill-in for you a couple of weeks ago, I recorded an hour and a half with Dennis of the Best of the Rest podcast. But he insisted on using Discord, and Discord didn't record it because he didn't have a backup recording device or whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, and I was very tired. I enjoyed the conversation a lot, but I was so tired. So I was like, damn it. And I was like, I'm going to bed. See if you can save it. And I went to bed. But anyways, we had talked about this, but then we lost the episode. So here we are talking about it again, which is more appropriate because you and I were already planning on talking about it. But I was just too excited. Yeah, Hoopla has some awesome stuff, man. I signed up for it and went on there, and like, you kind of expect when you can get free stuff for it to be like the stuff you don't want. Like, I was like, oh, I'll sign up for Hoopla and it'll be a bunch of like Star Trek comics and Dynamite or some shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I went on there and I was able to read Ghost Fleet, which, you know, I told you about. I hope you've read that by now.
Oh, so you read Ghost Fleet.
Yeah. We can talk about that some as well. This is the Hoopla episode. So we were going to aim this episode at AD, After Death. Jeff Lemire's,
Scott
the book
Snyder.
That Jeff Lemire is the good part of.
Oh, my God.
Shots fired. But we can touch on some other stuff, too, because the cool thing about Hoopla is it's just like, you know, you were talking about Ghost Fleet, so of course we had the ongoing joke where everybody took credit for it but you, because you got mad whenever anybody mentioned it.
No, you need to tell the story correctly. So Ghost Fleet is written by Donny Cates, who has become very prolific. He just signed on to be a Marvel exclusive writer, even though he can still do indie stuff. He's doing Thanos and Doctor Strange for Marvel, starting, I think, this month or next month. Anyways, I've been reading Donnie. You know me, Paul. I'm a comic book hipster. So I've been reading Donnie Cates since the 70s. And by the 70s, I mean, like, I don't know, 5 years, whenever he started writing. Donnie actually used to work for Valiant. He did a lot of the like character developments and stuff, but he never wrote stories. He was just kind of a behind-the-scenes guy. And I think Donnie started out as a Marvel intern, and that's probably how he hooked up with Valiant, because some of the Valiant guys, the editor staff, they came from Marvel as well.
Oh, Warren came from Marvel.
Yeah, Warren came from Marvel, and then, oh, God. What's his name? Now I can't remember his name. The marketing guy.
Adam?
No. Oh, God.
Hunter?
Hunter. Oof. I'm going to have to edit that out of the podcast. Hunter was came from Marvel as well. He was a marketing guy there. So I'm sure, like, that's what the connection was. But anyway, so I read Ghost Fleet when it was coming out. It's a Dark Horse comic. I think it's fantastic. Paul disagrees with me. That's fine. But the thing about Ghost Fleet, it's like watching one of those super cheesy, like, 80s action flicks where it's just, like, nonstop. Like, this shit happens. That shit happens. Shit blows up. That shit happens. Shit blows up. And I just loved it.
Yeah, and I didn't dislike it. Let me just say that. I didn't dislike it, but I did find it to be a clusterfuck.
Okay, that's fine.
I enjoyed it, but I also, like, was kind of like, what the hell is going on? What's the major threat in the book? And then what annoyed me after that point is, so I'm, like, trying to spark up conversation, and basically I was like, you know, how do you spark conversation? You don't spark conversation by being like, oh, I liked this, but this stuff, you know? Because nobody wants to talk about that. But if you say, like, you know, man, this was a clusterfuck, then you get people be like, no, blah, blah, blah. You know, they want to defend it then if they like it. That's what I was aiming for. Mm. Well, all I got was, like dismissive. Like, cool, whatever, you know? Like what you like. Whatever, you know? Yeah. It's like, no, like, seriously, this is our group of friends that we have conversations. We're all assholes to each other, so it's not like it's unexpected. Don't just be like, no, yeah, you do you. Yeah. No, that's not what any of us do. Like, we're still mocking Jack relentlessly for many things. For Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. For his refusal to let a man cut his hair. I mean, there's just so many things, you know? We don't let things go. So it's like, well, when I have an opinion, and it's just like, okay, cool. That's, you know, that's your opinion. I don't need your permission to have it. And this isn't directed at you either.
No, yeah.
But it's like, I don't need your permission to have an opinion. So now we can't even talk about the book because I'm pissed off because you're trying to say it's okay for me to have an opinion, and fuck you for that. So
How dare I say you can have an opinion?
I still wasn't able to discuss this damn book with anybody. Yeah. Because it just got ran off the rails by, like by the attitude of, well, I want to like it, and I don't want to have to, like, discuss anything with you.
Well, I think the thing was, when you were when you wanted to talk about it, everybody was busy. And so the comments you were getting were kind of snide comments, because people just kind of didn't have time to get into the conversation, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if you don't have time, then get off the fucking internet. Do what you're doing.
Yeah, quit working and talk to Paul.
Well, if you're working, work. That's part of the problem with people, like, I'm working, but I'm going to answer anyways, is, like, you're not really giving your full attention. You should give your, not necessarily your full attention, but, like, if you're going to talk to somebody, give them your attention. Mm. If you're too busy to, don't talk to them. Like, is that so hard? Is that so hard to say? Like, just, you know, I'm too busy to have a conversation with you. Maybe don't, like, go in and make a comment then.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, if you're not going to flesh it out at all. But anyways, like, I wanted to talk about the book because I was like, everybody was hyped up on this, and I read it, and I was like, there were things I liked about it. But it was just all over the damn place. Like, so what is the major threat of it? Is the major threat the ghost fleet? Doesn't really seem like it.
No.
The guy who runs the ghost fleet is kind of seems like a major asshole.
Yes.
So he like he's not the guy you're kind of rooting for. The guy who's going and stealing the truck, just like, why are we rooting for him? I don't really know. He got shot in the head by his buddy there before, but they never really fleshed out it anymore. The guy's wife has cancer, and some rich guy is involved somehow. And that rich guy just like likes to kill people, apparently, even though he hasn't killed anybody that we've seen yet.
Dude, you're trying to argue about this book. I already told you why I like it. It's not because I'm particularly interested in a character or a particular segment of the story. It's just fucking, it's a fun fucking read. There's like bullshit happening all the time. Shit blows up. Action, action, action. Like sometimes that's what I want to read. And sometimes I feel like that's really good because when I read it, I'm in that mood for that kind of thing. And Ghost Fleet is like right up that alley, dude. If you love 80s action flicks, like you're not like, oh, well, fuck, why is Arnold Schwarzenegger going to the jungle to find the Predator? Like, who gives a shit? He's just going, and they fucking, you know, duke it out. Arnold gets covered in mud. Like, why is he covered in mud? So the Predator can't see him. Like, who fucking cares?
In Predator, you know who you're rooting for. You're rooting for Arnold.
Are you? I don't root for Arnold. Fuck Arnold.
Of course you are. The Predator is the bad guy. You're a fucking human being.
The Predator is not the bad guy.
You're aligning with somebody here.
The Predator is not the fuck guy. He's not.
Now you're just
listen. The sure. Predator is just hunting. To the Predator, Arnold is just a fucking piece of meat.
Which yeah, but you're a human, so you have to align yourself with the humans.
No, fuck that. Humans
decide here.
Humans are terrible, dude.
Yes, they're terrible. But if you watch a movie about humans and you're a human. That's your protagonist.
Nope, I go for the aliens. When aliens want to blow shit up and eat people, I'm like, hell yeah, fuck these people.
You are the reason that Stone Cold Steve Austin became popular. That's all I got to say. No, but like really, like I get what you're saying about the book, and like I said, it was like I enjoyed it. I didn't love it. I enjoyed it. I probably want to read the second volume when it comes out because I want to kind of have an idea of what the hell was going on. And it was enjoyable enough to read. But I don't know. Like, I would have liked it more if I had any idea of, like, who I'm like, okay, this is the person that either, like, this is who this is centered around or this is who I. This is the protagonist. Like, in some way, shape, or form, who's the protagonist? I guess it's the guy with, like, the eye patch and the dog. But yeah. It just, like, it was so disjointed getting to that, too, that it, I don't know.
Okay. That's fine.
But, I think the real problem is there's just a certain point in there where, like, it doesn't, like, the flow from this happened doesn't make any fucking sense. That's probably just where it kind of threw me off. But
yeah, I don't think it's supposed to either, but okay.
Yeah, well. I mean, you know, why should a story make any fucking sense, you know?
Dude, not every story has to make fucking sense. I don't understand that. Like, everybody feels... That's why everybody gets so pissed off when, like, a new writer comes on a book and they change shit. And yes, I know you're going to say, well, fucking Tom King's on Batman, he changed everything. Yeah, and you know what? Fuck that book. But here's the thing. Like, everybody just fucking does this all the time with everything. And I don't fucking understand it. Why can't you just go and read the fucking book and enjoy it just for whatever it is?
What you're saying is not in line with what I'm saying. Like, I go into any book looking... I went into this book looking to enjoy it. I go into any book I read looking to enjoy it. And, I dare you to find a book that I've read that I went in wanting to enjoy it that I didn't enjoy unless it was for something that just really bothered me, like something with, you know, something in the storyline that just personally bothered me, and that's why, like, okay, I don't want to enjoy this. So rather than keep reading it and say there was something bad about how it was done, I just say this isn't for me and I don't want it, you know?
Well, like, I mean, you hate Crossed. Crossed is a great book.
Well, that's a good example where I look at that and I say, I don't want this. I don't want to enjoy this. This isn't for me.
Right.
I tried it and I walked away from it. I'm not saying that it's bad at doing what it does. I don't care what it does. It's not for me. So that's cool. Walked away from it. The Boys, I kind of took a peek at that and said, nope, don't want any of this, and I walked away. But any other book, like, it's rare that I read a book that I want to like, and I'm just like, I really don't like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like I go into a book wanting to like it. Even books that I've given you a lot of shit about, like Black Eyed Kids, like, that was still a fun book to read. You know, there were some things I saw in it that I thought were kind of flaws in how it was done a little bit, but there's that in everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, with this book, like I said, I still ultimately enjoyed it, but, you know, it's one thing to, like, then this is why I want to talk. It's hard to talk about a book like this where it's like you were super passionate about it, and quite a few, like, you were, Ronnie was. I don't know who else. Really excited about it.
Let's be realistic. I really enjoy the book, and I love Donny Cates as a writer, but The Ghost Fleet is not something that I'm passionate about. It has become that because of the underlying joke behind it.
You're passionate about taking credit for it.
That's not at all what it is. Because to continue with the story, when Ronnie said something about Ghost Fleet, and I was like, dude, I've been telling you to read that for years, and so then it becomes a joke, right? Because that's where the meme started. Have you read Ghost Fleet? Okay. And, like, you know, once you see it several times, it becomes funny. Like, people listening were probably like, what the fuck are they talking about?
Yeah, but inside jokes aren't real funny to people that aren't inside on the joke.
Yeah, when they're not inside the joke. But, you know, like, there's always that one thing, you know, like, where you have the one hipster friend that that does something years before anybody else, and then they take the credit for it whenever everybody else catches on, right? And by that time, like, they don't fucking want to talk about it because they read it years ago or watched it or whatever the fuck. But then it just becomes funny. And so that's what The Ghost Fleet has become. So I don't think The Ghost Fleet is the greatest thing. Like, it's obviously one of his earlier things. And I know it's not perfect.
And I think that's where I was kind of caught off guard because, you were getting very hyped up on Donny Cates. Like, God Country was a more recent indie book that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because it kept on coming up because of everybody giving you shit about it because you told Ronnie about it first or whatever. And then he was telling people and you're like, I said that, you know, whatever. But, yeah, so it kind of like, it brought it up to too much attention, I guess. So It's like, I was like, oh, I got to read this. Like, you know, they're hyping up God Country. They're hyping up this. And I read, like, whoa, this, like, God Country's like a good step better than this, and like just overall, like, you know, execution. You can see his development, like you just said. So, but yeah, you know, that it was an interesting book. Like, it's worth checking out. Volume 2 is supposed to be coming out at some point. I know
God Country, yeah,
not God Country, the other one.
Which one?
The one we're just talking about. Yeah, that one. I don't know, it's an interesting concept too. Like, I think that's part of it too, is like, this is an interesting concept, but then the concept is all over the place. I don't know. It was fun though. Mm-hmm. God Country though, also a good book. That was a fun read.
Yeah, dude, he's awesome, dude. God Country.
What else has he done? Marvel stuff or whatever. But
Baby Teeth.
Yeah, Baby Teeth. I haven't read on that. That's Aftershock. Yeah.
Yeah, Aftershock. He does a Star Trek book for IDW.
Star Trek.
He was doing
Star Trek one did he do?
Oh god, I can't remember now. He's been doing it for a hot minute though, I'm pretty sure. I don't read it because I don't I think it's Next Generation. And I don't care for that. Discovery's awesome. The rest of Star Trek's okay.
Yeah, I'm not as much of a Star Trek fan. Anyways, that's the joy of Hoopla, is it makes it so easy to, like, just dive in and read.
Oh, is that what we're talking about? I thought we were talking about Donny Cates today.
There's a ton of Image stuff on there. They got some, like, Marvel stuff, some DC stuff. Like, I know Jay was reading, what the hell was it? Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yep.
I believe his comment that the writing was childish. and he kind of explained it a little bit differently, but I just thought that was kind of funny. Yeah, like the first thing I read on there was that I got on there and I had read the first two trades of the beauty because Jay sent them to me, and I was like, well, I'm never going to read any more because I'm not going to go out and buy this, but it was a good read.
How'd you like it? Oh, you liked it?
Yeah, I liked it. It was a very enjoyable book to read.
You read both of them?
The first two, yeah, and then I read the third volume on Hoopla.
Okay.
Totally free, easy, accessible.
This doesn't go with the Hoopla discussion, but Jeremy Hahn has a new book out, The Realm. So just be on the lookout for that. I'm sure it'll be on Hoopla in a couple months when the trade comes out.
Cool. Yeah, I'll have to remember that. Yep. Yeah, like that was a good book, and it was. So the discussion has come up too. Usually comes up with Ronnie. Is like we'll be talking about a book, we'll call it horror, and he'll say, "I don't really think of that as horror," which is a fair statement with the ones that come up usually. Because horror is one of those genres that is like one of the big bucket genres, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you think about genres of books or books, movies, whatever, if you really narrow it down to the big buckets, you got comedy, you got drama, you got action, you got horror. Are there any others? Like those are the like kind of the four big groups, right? Are there any others that would fit in that like couldn't just be shoved into one of those?
Yeah, that's
like I think
right.
those cover pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of books, if you're pigeonholing them into something, you would call them horror. So we were talking about actually Lock and Key was the most recent one. Lock and Key, if you're fitting in one of those categories, it's a horror book. And he said that he thought of it as more of a what was the word?
Like a suspense thriller?
Yeah, like suspense. Yeah, suspense thriller. I think that's what he said. Something like that. Not suspense thriller. There's another word.
Yeah,
in there.
You know what? The problem like is like I've had this discussion with Nick a few times because you know Nick's not a big horror guy. But the thing is, like, I think a lot of people have issues defining what makes a horror book. Because like movies have just ruined horror for everybody. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Exactly. I think we've actually had this conversation.
Yeah, I think
before.
We've talked about it too.
Yeah. If something can only be described as horror, then your connotation of it is gore fest, basically. Like that's what a quote horror movie is nowadays. It's shock value, it's gore, it's disgusting, it's over the top. You know, it's something like Crust that you mentioned. Like that is a book that at least my take on it, that's like just 100% horror. You wouldn't really describe it much as anything else because it's there to shock you, it's disgusting,
mm-hmm.
It's, you know, violent, it's crazy. So that's why, you know, when you tag something else as why the fuck isn't Donnie Cates on Wikipedia? This is just making my life really hard. When you tag something else as horror, people kind of balk at it if they don't just pigeonhole it into that. So Lock and Key totally is a horror book, but it's also has, it's that like kind of suspense, kind of a book, you know, and that's the kind of horror stuff I like. Like if we're talking horror movies, I like The Shining. I don't like, Saw, which I've never even seen, but I said about Crossed, I know I don't want to go there.
Right,
like
sure,
it does
sure.
not interest me, you know? But yeah, Lock and Key is one. Hellboy is one. Hellboy is totally a horror book.
Yep.
But it's a horror book that's also like very crime noir.
Well, it's a subgenre, like, right? Because there's a lot of like Cthulhu mythology in there. What's the author? Oh God damn it!
Lovecraft.
Lovecraft. It's very Lovecraftian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so to me, like that is good horrors. Whenever you can take it, and then you can say all these other things about it. So, I mean, you could say like, "Oh, yeah, I think of it more of as a suspense book," as you know. But like, if you boil it down, like everything has to fit into one of those big buckets. Like, it's a comedy, it's a drama,
mm-hmm.
you know. And of course, you can have crossover elements. But like, for every dramedy out there. Like, it's either a drama primarily that has comedy elements, or it's a comedy that has dramatic elements, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, books like Lock and Key, books like Hellboy, Even like this, the first time I remember this really strongly coming up was when Imperium was referred to as a horror book. If you look at Imperium and think of it as those four buckets, it can totally go in the horror bucket. Like you could argue strongly for it to be more of a drama than a horror book, but like it has strong enough horror elements that you can put it in that horror segment. There's just more to it than that. But I mean, you have a woman who is taken over by an alien and her eyes are gone, and you have a monster whose whole sole purpose is to kill everything. You have a sentient robot. I mean, come on.
Yeah, so what you're saying is that it's a sci-fi book, not a horror book.
See, you can say that too. But sci-fi isn't one of those four categories we said. Horror,
yeah, well,
drama, comedy, action.
So I don't think Imperium is a horror book.
I don't think of it as a horror. I think Imperium is more of a drama with horror elements. Like, I think if you have to primarily put it somewhere, it would go as a dramatic book.
Here, I'm going to read you the definition of horror. Are you ready? Horror okay. is a genre of fiction which is intended to or has the capacity to frighten, scare, disgust, or startle readers or viewers by inducing feelings of horror and terror. And I don't have any of that with Imperium.
But you don't, but you're also desensitized as fuck.
Well, I am desensitized as fuck, but the reason that I am is because I've watched so many of these films that I can easily tell what is and what is not horror.
Yeah, see, I think that with Imperium there's enough of those elements of horror, because, I mean, like, the whole Angela thing in Imperium is pretty horrific.
Sure.
Like, that's what her taking the brain out of that Psyot, that's pretty fucking horrific. There's sure. some stuff in there that's pretty horrific, so if you are not at all desensitized to horror, you're going to be apt to be overwhelmed by those elements and throw it into horror.
But the thing is with Imperium, those segments of the story are not a focus.
And oh, yeah, so, exactly. They're secondary, and that's why I don't think that it is a horror book. Yeah. I think it's a book that has elements of horror in it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Whereas, like, a book like Hellboy, I think it is, like...
Hellboy is horror, for sure. Yeah,
yeah, it's horror, but there's just... The focus is on the structure of the story, and, like, it's on all these other things. So it's a horror book, if you look at everything that's around you, but it's easy to lose sight of that because you're getting focused in on the story that you're following, not just on the horror. Mm-hmm. And we're so used nowadays to, like, the focus of the story is just the horror, and that's it.
Yep.
So, anyways, there's another great tangent for this podcast. I don't even remember what the hell that stemmed from.
What is our topic for today, Paul?
Hoopla! We were talking about the beauty. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. That's a
horror book. Yeah, and that's like Lock and Key came up with Ronnie brought it up and tagged me and Amy in it, I think, because Amy's a big Lock and Key fan. Mm-hmm. And then we were telling Aaron to read it on Discord, and Aaron doesn't like horror. And I was like, well, you know I don't like horror, but I love this book.
Sure.
You know, and now we can kind of pile on, of course, it's easy to, and like, I love Hellboy. I love Lock and Key. So I love a few things that are horror. But I hate that what we were just talking about, like the general, this is what people think of as horror nowadays. Cannot stand it. But good horror is great. You know, so I think, you know, of course Aaron's going to be Aaron and talk shit. But I think he understands, like, if I say, like, I don't like horror, but I like this, you know it's because of those elements that make it good and that separate it from just being that, you know, well vodka of horror. You know, it's not the shit stuff. This is top shelf horror.
Sure.
This is what you spend too much.
Well, I will say Lock and Key is not my favorite.
I liked it a lot. I've only read it once. I'm actually just starting a reread of it. I will tell you though, what made me absolutely love Lock and Key, and I didn't read this consecutively because Comixology has a lot of free issues of comics you can get, and I believe this is just like a standard free issue on there, mm-hmm. is the first issue of Volume 4 of Lock and Key. and it is a tribute to Calvin and Hobbes. I believe this came out right after the creator died, and so it was a tribute to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just a beautiful comic. Like, it's a great tribute to him, but it's also like it really packs emotion in there without forcing it on you. It's just so beautifully done, and that completely hooked me. So the reason I like Lock and Key is like the emotional attachment that, like, that story in the middle of the whole bigger story, that's what really drew me in. I think a lot of the emotion of Lock and Key centers around the little kid, which I don't remember all their names right now because I just started reading it again.
Yeah, no, I think I need to read more because I've only read volume one.
Oh no, you got to read more. Yeah,
yeah, and I wasn't all that excited about it.
Until you, yeah, just read the whole damn thing. Just okay, do that.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's a go on Comixology and get that issue. If that issue doesn't sell you on it, that's what sold me on.
Well,
it,
I mean, so, Comixology Unlimited's got the first three volumes.
Yeah, so you got the first three volumes, and you definitely have that first issue of volume number four. So there you go. You'll be all sold.
Yep.
But yeah, I enjoyed it a lot anyways. So back to Hoopla a little bit. So when I got Hoopla, first thing I did was I stumbled across that third volume of The Beauty, so I read that right away.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to read something like that is like, I liked it, but I'll never read more because I don't want to spend money on it. I don't want to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I could request it from my library, which means I have to remember to request it, wait, you know, possibly a couple weeks for it to come in, hope I'm still in the mood when it comes in, get it, read it, and return it before it's due. And like for me, that's easier than for a lot of people too, because I live pretty dang close to my library. It, like, I pretty much have to go by my library to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me
but
too.
For some people, it's not so accessible. With Hoopla, you can add stuff to your favorite list. You're limited with how many things you can check out a month. So with my library, I get 5 checkouts a month.
Yeah, mine is also 5.
Jay gets 4. Dennis gets 10.
Yep.
Freaking 10.
Yep.
But so like at first I didn't really know what I was doing. So like I'll download this. I ran out. So I ended up downloading like kind of a hodgepodge of stuff. So I read that volume of The Beauty. I read the other two volumes of Black Sad that I hadn't read.
Mm-hmm.
I downloaded the second volume of Killer Be Killed, but not the first volume. So I had to wait till the next month to download the first volume and read it before I had to return the second volume. But one of the ones I got was AD, After Death. Mm-hmm. Jeff Lemire doing the art and Scott Snyder writing the really long-winded writing in it.
Yes.
Well, we were going to do an episode all about that.
No, let's be fair. Okay, it's long-winded, but it's also very experimental.
Did I ever say I wanted to be fair?
Okay, fine. Continue.
No, actually, you just made a very good point. One of the things that is special about After Death is that it is very experimental. They're playing around with form with comic books, and it was not an easy read. So you still haven't even finished reading it.
I haven't finished the first one yet.
You haven't even finished the first one?
No, dude. I told you that.
You told me you hadn't finished reading it, not just the first one. But anyways, it's inconsequential because
it's like, dude, it's like 80 pages per issue.
So, I mean, it's a comic. That should be easy, right?
That's like a trade's worth.
Not only is it a lot of pages, it's a lot of prose.
Yeah, it's a lot of prose.
It mixes prose with like traditional comics. Jeff Lemire's art is great, but there's you know, when it's really prose heavy, there's not like there's a ton of art along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Although there is some. It was an interesting read to read something that was just done in this different format. Story wise, I mean
it's fine.
Story was fine. Yeah, it's a fine story. I've read the whole thing. It's interesting. I think that the best parts of it aren't really like kind of what the whole story did. Like the beginning part is one of the best parts of it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the end is kind of like, okay, you kind of babbled on too long and had to tie it up. It's kind of honestly what the end felt like. But yeah, it was interesting. I don't really have a lot more to say about it, because I don't know, like, I don't feel strongly about it one way or the other. If you like Jeff Lemire, his artwork is as good as his artwork always is in it, but he didn't write it. I think if Jeff Lemire wrote this, it would probably have been better, because Jeff Lemire is really, really good at making you care about characters. He could do that very quickly. He could do that with very minimal things. And I think that, so obviously Scott Snyder wrote a lot of words in it, so you can think, well, he had all the words that he needed to make you care about the characters, but that didn't fit with just the form of the whole thing. Like, a lot of it was kind of like stream of consciousness kind of writing, it is how it came off. They progressed the story along quicker in the segments that were, like, laid out like a traditional comic book is laid out. But, like, I mean, you didn't really, like, feel any really strong feelings for any of the characters in it. Yeah, I mean, you felt some. There wasn't nothing there. But Jeff Lemire is just so good at making you really care about characters that I think if he actually wrote the book, even if he did it in the same kind of structures, I think you might have came out of it caring a little bit more, because you would have been more drawn into the characters and wanted to see what happened with them. As it is, like, I really had to push myself to get through it. I think it would have been better if I got it as it came out, like, issue by issue. And I think you also would get more out of it, because it's meant to be presented that way. Like, it's so much about the presentation. The issues are oversized, like magazine-sized issues. They're longer than normal issues. So just the whole presentation is different. So trying to read it just like a comic book and judging it just based off of that isn't really fair. It's just something different. So if you go into it and you're like, I hate it because it wasn't like this, you can't judge it like a comic book. Like, go into it, if you don't like it, it just wasn't for you, I think is kind of the way to approach it.
Yeah.
So I mean, based on that, like, I couldn't really recommend it to anybody because I don't feel strongly enough. Like, if somebody strongly recommended it to me and I went and read it, I probably would have been like, I probably would have liked it less because I would have had expectations, you know?
But see, if you get it on Hoopla, then you probably should read it.
And that is why Hoopla is amazing!
Because then you don't pay for it.
Try these things. Hoopla has all the issues of Grass Kings available.
Oh, do they? I didn't even check that.
They have individual issues. They have very current stuff. The last time I looked, they had through issue 7. I'm not exactly sure how many issues are out, but like, I'm pretty sure that's pretty damn up to date.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they decide what they have current and what is not, because there are some comic books that you can get single issues for that are fairly recent, like within a couple of weeks of them coming out, and some that you don't see for months. And some that you only see in trade. But I think that's probably true of, like, everything, right? Like, any service that you use. And they never tell you, like, what they have now and why.
Like, this service is kind of crazy. Like, I would actually kind of like to know more about it. Because, as we said, you have to... Your library has to subscribe to the service. So, like, Jay, for example, his hometown library did not. But wherever he lives, like, however it's structured, you could actually get accounts at other libraries in the, I don't know if it's the county or whatever. So he is able to go get a different library's library card and subscribe to it that way. But so you're, I mean, I'm assuming basically what it is the library is paying money to use the service. So that's why they're setting up the plan of, okay, we're going to pay for 5 downloads a month or 4 downloads a month, or Dennis gets 10, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, Hoopla must just have to broker the deal with the publishers, I'm assuming, to get the content.
Yeah, I think that's my assumption as well. Because when they first launched, I read some news about them, and it seems like they do deal directly with publishers. And not just, I mean, you got to say on here, it's not just comic books either. Because you can get movies and music and, like, physical books. You can get audio books. You can get all kinds of stuff. Like, pretty much anything you can get from your library, you can get on Hoopla.
Yeah, I looked around some of the other stuff a little bit. I didn't look around the books very much yet, just because I knew I wasn't really looking to get into a digital book right now. I got some physical books in progress that I've been slow on, so I certainly don't need to dilute that pool. But, like, I'm interested to check out the audiobooks more, because, you know, if like, to me, with audiobooks, unless you're just somebody who has an immense amount of time to listen to stuff, audiobooks are great if it's the right thing and worthless if it's the wrong thing. Mm. So, like, one of the audiobooks I've listened to that I would highly recommend is Marvel The Untold Story. Mm-hmm. That worked out really well for me as an audiobook because I was interested in listening to it. I could listen to it little bit by, you know, little by little.
Yeah, that was really good. I just finished that. What was
wrong. Yeah, that one I really enjoyed. Through like Audible free trials and stuff. Another one I got was Game of Thrones. Not a good choice because it just got tedious to listen to. I decided I didn't want to listen to it. I don't want to read it. And eventually I don't even want to watch this damn show anymore because it's just full of like vile, horrible things. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of a waste of a couple of credits because I got like the first two books. Yeah, so I mean, audiobooks, it all depends on what works best for you. So like, it's going to be different for everybody. So I haven't dug into what they offer there yet, but that's pretty awesome. Looking at like the movies and TV shows, pretty crappy selection there. So, but I mean, that's not really a surprise.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I was just, as being a comic reader, I was totally blown away because I was really starting to get on the bandwagon of using my library to read stuff that I either just wanted to check out and hadn't read, or stuff that I wanted to read but did not want to own, instead of like spending the money on it and like burning money to read stuff that was just kind of like on a whim, you know? Mm-hmm. Like God Country is available on there. I bought God Country for a reasonable price. I flipped it over to a friend for just a fraction of what I paid for it, because that way it's like I got a few bucks back. They got it for really a dirt cheap price.
Sure.
You know what's cheaper than that? Free. And I knew I didn't want to own it. Like, I don't need to keep that. You know, I had no intention to keep it even before I got it, you know? Yep. I don't stockpile everything. So like, I'm just, it makes me so excited to read so many more different things. An example of something that I read, I actually read this on Comixology. So it's cheating a little bit. But if I hadn't have already purchased it on Comixology, I would have read it on Hoopla, is Rumble. I read the first volume of Rumble, which I had purchased on some sale forever ago on Comixology and then forgot I even had it, basically. And I really dug it. Like, there's just something about it that I like. It's, it's the kind of thing that ain't going to be for everybody. It's not like, you know, it's a work of art and amazing and everybody should love it. But I really dug, like, the character design on a lot of, like, more of the creature character design, I'll say. Like, the way the people are drawn is just kind of whatever. It's fine, but mm-hmm. it's not like that's what's wowing me.
Sure.
But, like, the main protagonist, well, I shouldn't, not, I guess he's not actually the main, the main protagonist, I think, is actually the human character.
Yep.
But the Scarecrow guy.
I mean, the Rathbone. Scarecrow is ultimately the main character, but the story is not told through that character.
Yeah, he's the center point of the story, but the story's not told.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
But yeah, like, I mean, reading that first volume, I really dug that. And I think that that's something that, like, I still want to read a little bit more, but I may want to actually pursue getting a physical copy of it because I liked it enough. We talked about a bunch of the content on Hoopla.
Yeah, content's, I mean, great. There's no reason why you shouldn't be doing it. And I know what people are going to say, like, you should buy comics. And I agree. I still buy a bunch of comics. But the thing is, like, I cut down my pull list. But part of the reason for that is I have so many trades that I'm reading. And the thing is, I feel like it's more exciting for me to read those in trade. So I can afford... That sounds kind of weird. I can afford to cut down on my pull list because a lot of the current books just don't excite me as much as some of the older ones. You know what I mean? And so I'm more than happy to pick up older stuff on Hoopla or Comixology Unlimited, which I'm also doing, and not have to worry about, like, oh, well, I have to read the latest thing. Whereas I can read the best thing and exactly what I want to read whenever I want to read it.
Exactly, and, you know, the whole, like, should you, spend money on comics rather than getting it in various free ways. Like, my LCS, this is literally my last month of any monthly comics. I'm done after this. But I'm getting some trades for him. But even then, it's like I don't have a lot of money to spend right now. So like I'm getting very little from him. Like, I enjoy going to the shop. He's actually selling a bunch of my collection for me, in a way that, like, basically we're splitting the profit. So, like, it's nothing out of pocket for him. He's putting in the work, and he's able to get me more money than he could have given me, like, just straight up for it, you know? So, like, I still can go in there all the time. You know, like, this week I went and picked up, Rapture, because I had him order that for me. And I also, like I said, I'm still getting a few monthly books, so I got, TMNT Universe. Mm-hmm. But, I enjoy him. Like, he's a big Ninja Turtle fan, so we can talk about Ninja Turtles. Like, he reads lots of comics, so we can talk about all sorts of different things in comics. Like, I can just chat with him. Like, he's one of those people that, like, I have enough in common with, I can just talk with him. You know, like, it doesn't have to be like, oh, what about this comic? And then we talk about it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just be anything. So, you know, it's like, and he's always like, you know, he hates the libraries. People can get comics for free. So, of course, like, Hoopla isn't going to be real good for him. Comixology isn't something he's going to be real excited about. Like, he wants people to come in and spend the money there.
Sure.
But still, at the same time, you can understand that, you know, like I've told him with me, if I didn't have other sources for getting this stuff, all that would mean is that I would be 100% out of it.
Right.
Like, if I couldn't read comics these other ways, I would just not get anything. But with stuff like Hoopla or getting like Comixology sales and stuff like that, it allows me to keep reading comics, allows me to try different things. And there are going to be, like, right now there's a few things that I like or love and want to get. So like Valiant, I'm slowly building up the trades, and I'm trying to get the new ones that I particularly want. So, like, in previews right now, the only trade that's there is, like, Faith in the Future Force, which, fun book to read. Like, I'm not getting that the day it comes out. I don't care enough about it to get it the day it comes out.
Yeah.
I might get it eventually, but, like, I'm not gonna, like, just, you know, oh my god, gotta get that, you know? But, like, the EXO books, I have been getting. You know, I've been, okay, pre-order this for me. Secret Weapons, I pre-ordered that one already, you know? Then aside from that, like, I love Ninja Turtles. I'm getting the hardcover, so, like, there's even bigger gap in time before I can get them now. So the next one was solicited to come out in, like, January or February or something, so I pre-ordered that one. But with me being able to read stuff on Hoopla, or, you know, get Comixology sales, like, Rumble, essentially, like, I was introduced to that from a Comixology sale. So now, like, I bought 5 issues for $1 each at some point. So that's $5 I spent. Had them just sitting there forever. And I'm finally, like, trying to work through and read some of that stuff. And I read it. So, but I liked it enough that I could either, like, buy the rest of the series on Comixology sales, or I could pick up the trade paperbacks of them, or, knowing that it's Image and how Image is doing stuff lately, I could probably wait it out a little bit and get a hardcover collection.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I liked it enough that, like, I'm really weighing those options. So that's where, yeah, I didn't spend any money in a comic shop to read this stuff, but I liked it enough that I might go spend that money in the comic shop. And if I didn't have that source there to read it in the first place, I wouldn't be spending any money in comic shops anymore pretty quickly, because, like, my you know, cost versus reward for comics would, like, it would get too off balance, and eventually I would have just had to say fuck it and walk away, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So there being those other options for the people that can't just throw their money into it. I mean, for some people, like, for you, your decision is between getting 80 books and getting 50 books a month.
Yeah, right.
You know? Like, for me, like, 50 books is still an absurdity. Like, I could not afford that. Like, I could not do 50 books a month. For me, it went from being a debate of getting, like, 12 books or getting 5 books. And then eventually it was, like, looking at that 5 books and debating, like, do I want to change my approach entirely to make it more enjoyable and less burdensome, you know?
Yep.
And that's what I decided to do, which is a hard choice to make. So, you know, something like Hoopla. So, like, this is why Hoopla is great to me. This is why I was excited to talk about it. It's not just to talk about the content of what I have read on it. But there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of good content on there. So now for me, the first of every month, It's like I get given 5 gift certificates for 5 free trades. Here, go get any trades you want. You know, and you don't have like it's I you don't have to go get something that you want to own forever. Just get something you want to read, you know? I like Saga. I don't love Saga, but I like Saga, but I've actually read like the majority of what's been released so far. But I've never read, I think I've read the first 6 trades. I've never read the 7th trade, either that or the 8th. I don't know, somewhere around there. I gotta figure out where the fuck I was. But, so this is like, hey, yeah, go ahead, go read that. Like, you don't have to go spend $14 on it, which is, by the way, the discounted price at Bull Moose for it. I think that's the price. It's around there. You don't have to spend that. Like, just go get it. Like, you know, here, it's one of your 5 comics this month. So there you go. I had bought the first volume of Black Sad, which is like, basically there's 3 volumes that Dark Horse has published of it. The first one is like, it's a bigger volume of multiple stories, and the other two are actually just single stories. I read the first one, I loved it, but I knew I wasn't gonna collect it. I actually, sent that one on to somebody else already. But I was able to read the other two without having to buy them. Because of Hoopla. I could have requested them through my library, but once again, then you have the, I have to go online and I have to be able to find them, which sometimes it's really hard to find comic books in a library's database that is not structured to understand comic books, you know? I have to be in the mood when it comes in. I have a limited time once it comes in. You have a limited time with Hoopla too, but you're choosing what you want to read when you want to read it, so it's very different. Yeah, so like I'm super excited. Like I started using it like mid September, and I was just so excited for October 1st to come because I figured it out enough. I was like, oh my gosh, I can get like what I want, you know? And I'm even like rationing them. Like I have 2 left. I've used my first 3, and I have 2 left. And I'm like, well, I want to make sure like I get what I want to read, and I don't just get a bunch of stuff and then feel like I have to read it. So.
Yeah, no, I gotcha. And see, I find myself reading a lot more on Comixology Unlimited because there's no limit to how many you can... Well, there's a limit, but I mean, it's 50 books. And there's no way that I can read 50 trades in a month. You know what I'm saying? Like, five trades? Yeah. Well, I tested it. So the limit is 50 on Unlimited. But I mean, you're paying $5.99 a month. And I mean, $5.99 for 50 trades—that's more than worth it. You know what I mean?
Well, here's a question though: you downloaded 50 trades?
No, I have 50 trades on my queue, on my library queue.
So, did you return one and then try checking out another one?
Yeah, you can. Once you hit 50, you can return one and check another one out.
Okay, so that you can. So essentially, you can still read more than 50, but you're capped off at queuing up. More than 50.
You're capped off at 50 at a time. Which is well worth it for $5.99. And, I mean, you know, like Hoopla has a lot of the same stuff, and it's free, but there is that limit, right? And I just feel like because I'm paying the $5.99, because I do still want to support some of those people. I mean, some of those books I would never read, you know? Like, I read, I read like 5 or 6 trades of Judge Dredd stuff. Like that's my new jam right now is Judge Dredd. The IDW stuff. It is really fucking good. But I never would have just gone and bought a trade, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of times I'll record with Nick on Nerdy Legion and he brings up a book and I just go out and get it on Amazon. But there's some things that like I just even with a really good recommendation from somebody, I just don't want to go and buy it because I might not like it, right? Even if it's like really highly recommended. And with a service like Unlimited or with Hoopla, I feel like there's no way to lose, right? Because
there's no risk to either, it. If you get it, you don't like it, whatever.
Yeah, either it's free or I'm already paying anyway, so who gives a shit? But
yeah, exactly. And it's a great way to try stuff out because like Judge Dredd's a good example where IDW, one of the things they do well is they publish collections very well. So you read all this Judge Dredd, you very well could end up going like, I like this enough, I want to own these nice collections of it. And well, you can start purchasing
and
this,
actually,
like really tried it out, you know?
There was a sale recently and I purchased like 6 volumes. Some including the ones that were on Comixology Unlimited, and a couple that were not. So it's really
a good example with that too. So I got a free. So they were having a 50% off Dark Horse sale, and it dawned on me because I had read the first omnibus of Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yep.
And I wanted to keep reading it. I was having the damnedest time finding the second omnibus of Lone Wolf and Cub. And I refused to pay full price for a book. You never should have to. So it's $20 or whatever is full price. I wasn't going to pay that. So I couldn't find it. And then it just dawned on me, why don't I think about finding this digitally? So I looked on Comixology, and sure enough, it was on there. Mm-hmm. And then right after I discovered this, because they didn't have it by the omnibus, they had it by the trade. And each omnibus is two and a little bit of another trade. So it's not even quite on balance with it. But, I was this still, there's $6 to trade on here. So it's a little bit better of a price, even paying full price on Comixology. And then right after I look at it, they have a 50% off Dark Horse sale. Mm-hmm. So it's only $3 to trade. So I'm like, oh man. Mm-hmm. Then I realized that the first 7 trades of Lone Wolf and Cub was on Unlimited.
Yep.
So I had already read essentially the first 2. So I signed up for a free month of Unlimited. I read 5 trades, and then I purchased the next 8 trades after that. And then when they had another sale, I purchased another 5 trades of it, something like that. So eventually I'm going to get them all. And then once I have all the ones that I'll eventually go back and get the ones that I already have read. So that way I have the whole digital collection of Lone Wolf and Cub.
Yep.
And, it's with Lone Wolf and Cub, they don't have a nicely presented physical collection of it. Otherwise, I may have chosen to patiently go that route with it. Another one that I read, not from Unlimited or from Hoopla, but from a Humble Bundle, is G.I. Joe, and I haven't read any of the Transformers yet, but there's G.I. Joe and there's Transformers. Aaron was going on and on about G.I. Joe Cobra, and I had one trade that I found for a couple of bucks on clearance at a store, so I grabbed that and I read it, and it was really good. I enjoyed it, so... They had this Humble Bundle, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get this, because the Humble Bundle had, I want to say, 12 or more of the, the big IDW collections, the $50 hardcovers that they do that are at least 12 issues per book, but they put them in chronological reading order. So they had, all of that was in the Humble Bundle. So, of course, it's digital, so you're not getting, a nice hardcover, but it's a good way to read it. Now, I doubt I'm going to start pursuing the hardcovers with them, because I don't think they're all still in print. But I could very well, that's the type of thing where it's I'm getting this really cheap digital deal, but it could very easily, parlay into getting the physical copies and spending more money on it, which would then be supporting your local comic shop.
Yep.
Or, some other retailer. But, so that's why, of course, my LCS is always going to be damn libraries, damn Hoopla, damn Comixology, because you can very easily look at the relation of, for everything you read there, that's money that could have been spent here to purchase it. But that's also that's not how it would directly relate, because, me reading the third volume of The Beauty on Hoopla, I was never going to buy that book. Never. Mm-hmm. So it was just but I enjoyed it still. So that means that, it's published by Image, so it raises my feelings towards Image some. I could not tell you who wrote the damn book, but I'd be more likely to check out something else they did, which could, relate to me actually buying something in the store. I like it, but not enough to buy it, but there are going to be other things that I will like that I read that I end up building that more and more, and then I'm like, yeah, you know what, I just want to own this. I've done that with other books, Essex County. I bought for $6 on Comixology. I eventually bought a physical copy of it that I paid $20 for, because I love the book so much. So that's why, you can criticize some of the drawbacks to comic shops and stuff like that, but ultimately, anybody who's going to, like, suck everything they can for free and never spend a dime on stuff, that's all they're going to do anyways. Like, they're not going to be good customers anyways. So yeah. The people who are good customers, like, stuff like this that makes it easier to be a comic fan is only going to be beneficial for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you could technically do that with anything, right? Like, even Comicsology Unlimited. Just make a new email address every month and just sign up for the 30-day free trial.
Yeah, see, Comicsology Unlimited, like, it has full runs of some stuff, but a lot of stuff, like, let's use one that is a pretty long run, for example, Morning Glories.
Mm-hmm.
There's how many trades of Morning Glories out there? I want to say there's, like, I don't know, 11, 12, something like that.
Well, and the thing is, like, Comicsology makes their money by selling you single issues, right? So the point of Unlimited is, yeah, you get all this stuff that you can consume, but ultimately the goal is, you know, you'll read a couple volumes of, say, Morning Glories, and then you'll want to go and buy the rest.
Exactly, yeah. So Morning Glories, there's like 12 volumes out there. You only get the first, like, two for free.
Right.
So, you know, if you like it and you want to keep reading it, even if you're smart and you wait for a sale, which you should always wait for a sale on Comicsology because it will come,
yep.
You could probably get the rest of Morning Glories for, like, $4 or $6 a trade, something like that, you know, if you on a sale.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you do it little by little, it's, like, still, like, you know, so you spent, like, $6 for that month of reading a bunch of stuff for free. Well, not for free. You paid $6, but reading as much as you want to, which is a great deal. But if they hook you on anything, it's more worth it for them. But even if they don't hook you, that $6 a month is, you know, you're reading stuff that's sitting there to be read anyways. It's,
sure.
You're not getting, like, a physical copy of a book where there's a more direct cost to, you know, that lowers the profit margin there. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep.
It's my whole gym theory, you know. Gym memberships are cheap because most people don't use them.
Yep. Indeed.
So that is our Hoopla episode. This is for Patreons. You should all go get Hoopla. There's probably Valiant stuff on there, which I honestly haven't checked.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
But really, if you're a patron of this podcast, like, are you looking for, like, reading old Valiant trades for free? Maybe, like, you know, but if you're a patron, you've probably read it all already.
That's probably true.
Yeah, and eventually, you know, we release the patron episodes to be available for everybody. So if you are listening to this and you have not read everything that Valiant has published since it relaunched in 2012, and you want to read, you know, first volumes or some of the older stuff, Comicsology Unlimited is pretty good for that. Hoopla is pretty good for that. There's some other ones out there too, but that's typically, like, you'll get, you know, just like with Comicsology Unlimited, you'll kind of get the taste of stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a first volume or two. But Valiant even makes that pretty approachable by having their first volumes all be $10 cover price.
Yep.
Which, you know, once again, if you can't find a book for less than cover price, you're not trying. So.
Not trying.
In Stock Trades actually has a really crazy sale on a lot of Valiant stuff. They have a good amount of stuff available for 55% off cover price.
Hmm.
And this is new stuff, you know.
It's, yeah, it's good.
Not like the damaged stuff. It's not, you know. So if anybody out there listening to this is trying to get Valiant trades, or maybe just, you know, got into Valiant and is really eager to read a bunch of old stuff, it's a good way to go about it. Really cheap.
Yep.
I mean, it makes it $4.50 for a volume one. And with in-stock trades, you just have to spend $50 to get free shipping. So you have to, like, place a pretty decent order to get free shipping. But honestly, if you get a few trades at this discount, even if you pay the whatever it costs for shipping, you know, it's, you're still going to get a good deal on it.
Agreed. We should end the show, Paul.
Yep, that's why I stopped talking, so you can end it.
I'm not going to tell anybody where to find us, because you should know that by now. And if you don't know, you can go to nerdlegion.com and figure it out from there. I think that's
it. What about for when this eventually gets released to the non-patrons?
Oh, sure.
Then they're like, well, we want to be patrons. You go to patreon.com/...
Valiant Central Podcast.
There you go.
And thanks to our patrons for supporting the show. It's very much appreciated.
We all talked about this because we love you all.
It's true.
I'm pretty sure that all seven of you specifically wanted to hear me talk about this, so, you know. If I'm wrong there, maybe you just need to think of, you know, maybe you're really the one that's wrong.
Touche. Thanks for listening. See you next time.